I want to take you back in time. And while we talk about the Mediterranean diet not being a cultural diet, but a pattern of eating, it still had its origins in the Mediterranean. The original Mediterranean diet was described as far back as over 500 BC in the Iliad. In those times, ancient Greeks' diet consisted of whole grains, fruits, vegetables, pulses, which we would describe as legumes today, beans and peanuts, and a bit of fish. Red meat was rare. And while red meat may not have been a dietary staple for the ancient Greeks, it was consumed during feasts, festivals, and special occasions. Cows were considered sacred gods, like Zeus, and their slaughter were preserved for just religious ceremonies and then consumed during those great feasts. But the majority of the population received their protein from fish, poultry, legumes, and whole grains. This was the diet of the first Olympians. And a couple of hundred years later, it became the diet of the Romans. Ancient Greeks worshipped the body, as you can see from their statues that are still preserved, but also from their language. We get the word gym from the Greek for gymnasium, which translates to a place to exercise naked. I can't think of anything more horrifying. But those gyms not only had places to train, but they were schools where instruction of literature, philosophy, math, and music were taught, as well as a social gathering place in the community. From the Greeks, we also get the word diet, coming from dieta, meaning a way of life, a manner of living. They had a balanced approach to health and well-being, emphasizing diet and exercise, as well as the mind. Gym bros and bro science had yet to be invented. Could those Olympians of old who ate diets filled with whole grain cereals have been wrong? Or could it been that those grains of the past were different than today's? Today, on Fork U, we will make sense of the madness of gluten and whole grains and tell you if you have celiac disease, what grains you can eat. I am your chief medical explanationist, Dr. Terry Simpson, and this is Fork U. Fork University, where we make sense of the madness and bust a few myths about food as medicine. If you have ever been on a low-carb diet, one of the first food groups you eliminate are grains. As you dutifully got rid of the last bit of joy in your life, you feel it was the cost to have your weight drop. You might have even thought grains are evil. You were eating burgers without the bun, breakfast without toast, no pastries, no bread, no pasta, no rice, and you were losing weight. Lots of confirmation bias there. Oh, those heady early days of low-carb diets, losing weight, feeling better, maybe even noticing cholesterol improved. Diet's kind of hard to sustain, though. And didn't you ever just get tired of steak? Now you come here and find the best diet is the Mediterranean diet, with lots of peer-reviewed literature to support it, 13,000 papers in the last 10 years. But you can't help but wondering in the back of your mind, the grains are still evil. I mean, the first thought you might have had was, all grains break down into glucose and glucose is evil, but if you actually had a minimal amount of biochemistry, you'd realize, no, that's not it. Your body runs on glucose. And maybe you read about celiac disease and gluten as its trigger. And maybe some low-carb blogger convinced you that wheat in America is filled with gluten and this is the problem. Well, unable to sustain a low-carb diet, you move back to the joy of a morning pastry or dessert, all while thinking grains are what caused that weight to return. Welcome to science. That's not what did it. It was calories, pure and simple. The math is quite easy. As people go on a singular restricted diet, be it low-carb, or be it beer and sausage, thank you, Mr. Evo Terra, you get tired of the food, you eat less calories, and you lose weight, and as you lose weight, everything gets better. Except if you give up grains, your life becomes measurably worse in terms of quality. And here on the Mediterranean diet, you find, oh my gosh, whole grains, not refined grains, are on the menu. Still, you're suspicious. Maybe it was the gluten. Or what happens if you come to the Mediterranean diet and you have something called celiac disease and gluten causes horrific issues? You really shouldn't have gluten if you have celiac disease. But should we all avoid gluten? And can you have a Mediterranean diet if you must be gluten-free? And should those ancient Greeks, should they have become carnivores instead of those grisly men who ate a diet that's now associated with the healthiest people on the planet? Well, clearly not. Eating too much red meat's been associated with increasing heart disease and cancer, and while the diet of the Mediterranean is associated with less heart disease and less cancer and more longevity, it's associated firmly with whole grains. Carnivores like pointing to an ancient wrestler called Milo of Croton, who ate 20 pounds of meat a day and won something like 5 wrestling championships in the ancient Olympians in 560 BC. They, of course, failed to mention that Milo of Croton also ate 20 pounds of bread and drank 18 pints of wine while training. I'm not sure those are healthy. Funny, they all talk about meat. And there are always outliers. Milo is one. And from such come legends. Well, a lot of this is apocryphal, and we really don't know the details about Milo of Croton. It is odd that he ate meat since his mentor was Pythagoras of the Thurium. And Pythagoras thought eating meat was associated with people waging war and tempers, and that meat was unhealthy, and some of the first vegetarians were called Pythagoreans. What a theorem that is. And despite what the low-carb and carnivore community tells you, whole grains have scientifically, in multiple studies, peer-reviewed, been associated with a decreased risk of diabetes, a decreased risk of obesity, smaller waist circumference, lower rates of cancer, and lower rates of heart disease. Whole grains, not refined grains, have a lot of fiber. In fact, whole grains are one of the richer fiber sources you can have in your diet, pound for pound. Gluten is a protein that's found in many grains, but not all of them, like wheat. You know, whenever you see these people who are throwing pizza up in the air and stretching that pizza out, the reason they're able to stretch the dough out is because that's what gluten, that protein, allows that stretch to happen while maintaining the pizza dough in that shape. I must confess, I am lousy at throwing pizza, unless it's on the floor. For most of us, gluten isn't an issue. But for about 1% of the population, gluten can exacerbate an autoimmune response against the small bowel. If you have celiac disease and have gluten in your diet, your bowel will be harmed. As a result, you won't be able to effectively absorb nutrients because many with celiac disease have anemia from their inability to absorb iron. And when you look at someone with celiac disease, when you look at their small bowel under a microscope, you see that it is clearly damaged. Symptoms of celiac disease: they typically feel bloated with gas, sometimes diarrhea or constipation. They might have chronic fatigue or weakness from a lack of nutrients. They might have a certain form of dermatitis and itchy skin. Children often have lower than expected weights. And adults manifest it with weight gain. So the symptoms are vague and not specific, but they form a part of the history that we see with the patients who have gluten sensitivity or celiac disease. And often, when they get on a gluten-free diet, they realize how bad they felt before. Now, since the symptoms are so general, there are some people who advocate a gluten-free diet for everything. And for every autoimmune condition, they say you should go gluten-free, of which there is no evidence. If you have Hashimoto's disease, you don't need to be gluten-free unless you have celiac disease. So if you have autoimmune disease, we should be tested for celiac disease. If you don't have it, you don't have to worry about it. That hasn't stopped hundreds of books being written that gluten in any form causes issues in everyone and that we should avoid it. It's an incorrect notion, but it sells lots of books. That's like saying, because peanuts cause certain people to die, we should avoid peanut butter at all costs. Such heretics should be burned at the stake. Being gluten-free isn't easy, and for those with celiac disease, they will tell you gluten's in everything. But what about incorporating whole grains if you have celiac disease? Now, here's some ways to do it. We'll start with quinoa, that lovely grain we discovered in Bolivia. You can swap grains like couscous with quinoa in salads and pilafs and stuffed vegetables. One of the advantages of quinoa is a complete protein, has this great nutty flavor, and it complements a lot of the Mediterranean diet ingredients. Quinoa is amazing. Brown rice. You can use brown rice instead of traditional pasta in dishes like risottos and stir fries, along with grilled fish or chicken. Brown rice really has that hearty texture and has fiber and thiamine. If you want to hear more about brown rice, please listen to my episode called The First Vitamin. Millet is another one. Experiment with millet in place of bulgur in tabbouleh or in those grain bowls that are topped with roasted vegetables and then drizzle olive oil. Buckwheat flour can be incorporated into your baking for gluten-free bread, pancakes, crepes. You can also use cooked buckwheat groats as an alternative to traditional grains and salads or as a side dish. Amaranth to soups, stews, and porridge for a nutrient-packed boost. It has a nice nutty flavor as well. One of my favorites that I have almost every day is oatmeal. But if you have gluten sensitivity or if you have celiac disease, make sure to get your oats gluten-free, which meant they were ground separately away from the other grinding where they might have had wheat. Bob's Red Mill has a gluten-free oats that you can use. And since oats are a staple of my morning breakfast, I find these a great choice. Finally, the one nobody thinks about is corn. Corn is a grain. It originated from grass. It's good to add to salads and my favorite, cowboy caviar. So you can incorporate gluten-free whole grains into the Mediterranean diet and enjoying a diverse range of flavors and textures, all while getting that nutritional benefit of these wholesome ingredients, which includes some good protein. Now, whether you're looking to support your digestive health, manage blood sugar levels, or simply explore some new culinary horizons, there is a gluten-free whole grain waiting to elevate your next meal. If you need to be gluten-free for health reasons, you can still be on the Mediterranean diet and get that precious whole grain point. If you're worried about having celiac disease, please be tested by your physician to see if you have it. Anyway, thanks for listening. Have a good week. This episode was researched and written by me, Dr. Terry Simpson. And while I am a doctor, I am not your doctor. Please seek any advice from a board-certified Western-trained doctor, not a chiropractor, not a naturopath, not a shaman, not an Eastern-trained medicine person. The podcast was distributed by our friends at Simpler Media, Ali Press, and the pod god, Mr. Evo Terra. This content is not medical advice. That's what my lawyer from Dewey, Cheatham & Howe wanted you to know. Have a great week. Hey, Evo. I recall on the beer and sausage diet, you were having bread with the sausages. And still, you lost weight, and everything went well. By the way, any good bakeries open back up in Phoenix?
That short time we spent in France kind of spoiled me on bakeries, if I'm honest. Although, I did bake a whole lot of bread in the last 3 years. You know, like so many other people did. You should try my bagels. Pretty on point. Ooh, my pretzels. Even better.